All right, let's have our prelude and our light come in, and let's get our hearts ready for worship.
Please stand as we sing together verses 1 through 4 of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, page 154. Along with me. Almighty God, as we prepare to worship today,
we ask that you will stretch our imaginations to sense the majesty and mystery of your ascension.
Help us perceive how Jesus' presence in heaven can give us confidence in our praying and hope for the future.
Forgive us for so often failing to grasp the wonder of ascension, for living each day as though it had never been.
Forgive the smallness of our vision, the narrowness of our outlook, the weakness of our love, the nervousness of our witness.
Give us a deeper sense of wonder, a stronger faith, a greater understanding of all you have done as we worship you this morning. Amen.
Page 163, Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know.
Confession. While we claim to celebrate the ascension of our Lord, the way we live proclaims our lack of faith in his power to deal with the world. Let us confess the incongruity between our faith and practice. Let us pray. We come, O Lord, on this day of glory to confess our lack of trust while we sing your lordship over creation. We have too often acted as though you are powerless in the face of today's events. Help us to live with confidence in your presence today and in hope for life with you forever. Amen.
And now we continue our prayer time. Charlotte and Herman, Daniel, want to share their joy that their daughter received her Master of Arts in Specialized Ministry today. Yay! All right, that's really wonderful. Where did she get her degree?
Southwestern College.
It's a Methodist College. Southwestern. Wow, good for her. Awesome. Well, that's a big, everybody, praise the Lord. Yeah. Also today we have Jim Jackson is here with us. Judy Hadfield is not, but we also remember these two, as well as Lily's son, as they are fighting the battle with that gruesome foe, cancer. So for Jim and Judy and for Lily's son, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Now somebody's up to some mischief here. It says, please pray for Pastor Judy. Now, there's not a period right there, so that's probably a good thing. Anyway, in terms of transition and preparing to go on a new adventure. I did buy a house this week, and so I survived that whole process. Yeah, so thank you very much. Also want to remember Pastor Frances as she gets ready to come here. I had a message from her last night wanting to know if she can come by the parsonage and drop off some geraniums that are too big to trust the mover with. And so she wants to drop them off on the front porch. And I said, of course. And she closed with how excited she is. So let's go to God in prayer.
Holy God, we come to you this day asking your blessings on Pastor Frances as she prepares to move to Cloudcroft and be part of this community. Lord, help the community receive her with love and acceptance. And may this church continue to grow and flourish and just shine in this community as it is doing. And God, we also come to you on behalf of these who are struggling with illness and disease, and we just ask for your mercy. We beg your mercy and blessings on these who are fighting that horrible disease, cancer. And we just ask that there be miracles in each person's life, that they know your presence as they walk through the treatment of what they are fighting against. And God, on this day, I also ask your blessings on all who are mothers and all who mother, because some don't have biological children, but they live their lives mothering others. And God, we thank you for that idea you had of mothers. We thank you for the way we have been nourished by a mother and the good that we can see in our lives because of those who have mothered us. And so today, God, I ask your blessings on each woman that is here in our worship service today, that she will feel affirmed and appreciated by those around her. Thank you for the children. Thank you, God, for the children here today. Thank you for the children who want to come to church. Thank you for the children who delight in serving you by being acolytes. Thank you, God, for the goodness that you have poured out on this church in the gift of children. And now, God, we also ask that you join with us in remembering all of those who are in authority over us as we think of local officials as well as national and international officials who make decisions that impact our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, yes, as we lift them up to you. And now we're going to let the concerns of our hearts rest together with each other and for each other, as together we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the ushers to come to receive the morning offering. Let us pray. It's really pretty awesome, God, that we are able to give, because the message of the world is to keep and hoard and store and what if and be ready and take care of yourselves. And yet here we are before you being glad that we are able. Thank you, God, for all that is given today. Thank you for each one who gives, and thank you for you who are the greatest giver of all, giver of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And now will you stand and we'll sing the doxology a cappella. We can do this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Very well done. You may be seated. And now we'd like to ask the children to come for children's time with Miss Jane. All y'all kiddos, come on down here.
To perform miracles. That's right, God. We know that, His Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for sending us Jesus, your only Son, and we thank you that you gave him the power and authority to do all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
But we're not through, because what is special about today? It's Mother's Day, and look at all these beautiful flowers we have. Now remember that a mother is not just someone that has a child. A mother is someone that also mothers other people. And we have lots of ladies that do that too. So we want every single solitary lady in our congregation today to get a flower. And I would ask that you take some and give them out to them. Can y'all do that for me? Thank you very much. Now also, before that, are you Serena? You had something to say.
We would, the kids church group would like to give Pastor Judy these flowers because she isn't with her daughters, so she could be with us.
Thank you, Serena.
Jane, there's also some in the balcony.
Oh, there's also some in the balcony up there. I see 1, 2, 3 ladies up there. There's somebody in the bar loft up here. Want to go right there? Maybe.
Thank you, my precious. In the back row. The girls used to get
it. Oh, look back there. Put your hand down here.
Sweet. Yeah. That's what I do with my glasses. So there they are.
Oh, thank you, God, for the children, right? This card, Happy Mother's Day from the kids class. And it's Sasha and Jolene and Corbin and Zoe and Serena and Lauren and teacher Bebe. That's Barbara. Sweet, sweet. Yeah. Whew, God is good. Listen to the scripture for the morning. It's Acts chapter 1, where Jesus is taken up into heaven. And the writer of the book of Acts is the writer Luke, and he begins by saying, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked them, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore your kingdom to Israel?" Oh, they were excited. Don't you know, these are the same ones that had just been arguing a few days before over who was going to sit on the left and who was going to be on the right. And yay, today was the day. Well, you hear what Jesus said. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You almost see the apostles going, ugh. You know, they were looking forward to that time where they were going to get to be the big Jesus. And Jesus says, "But you're going to get power so you can be my witnesses to go all over the world." And we don't hear him celebrating about that. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. They were looking intently up at the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before him and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, you know them. You know those people who just can't seem to live without some level of excitement in their life? Drama queens, we call them. Whether it comes from pleasure or from crisis, they thrive on adrenaline punching through their body. The time that exists between one crisis and another, between one activity and another, is regarded by them as dead time, or boring, as my kids used to say. Unimportant time. Even people who are not adrenaline junkies find being between a difficult thing. Difficult to face a period of time in which not much is happening. A period of time in which they have to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. A period of time that's just ordinary, with no headlines or fireworks. And still other people create larger-than-life events in order to feel. They suffer from the syndrome of "I feel, therefore I am." These folks create a lot of emotional drama in their lives and in the lives of people around them, because to them, the measure of existence, or the measure of importance, or the measure of their own significance is the level of emotion or feeling they can generate in their lives. These are also the same people who will leave a worship service and say, "Nah, I didn't get anything out of that. No goosebumps today." You know, you don't measure the presence of God by goosebumps. You claim in faith God's own words, "I'm with you always." Today's scripture reading from the book of Acts describes to us how the disciples were in kind of a between situation. They were faced with a period in which they were told simply to wait for Christ's promise to them to come true. Like us, the disciples didn't wait very well. After the resurrection, Jesus visited his disciples on several occasions. He taught them, he encouraged them, he commissioned them to do a great job. And on the day of his ascension into heaven, when they were anxiously asking him if this was the day when his kingdom was going to be established, he tells them, "It is not for you to know the time or the season. It's been established by God. That's God's business. Meanwhile, you have work to do." Jesus said that they should go back to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait for that power that they were going to need in order to be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and all the world. At the end of Acts chapter 1, you can see they seem to have gotten bored with the waiting. They took matters into their own hands, and they picked out two rather nondescript replacements to be disciples. Their selection was so unremarkable that we never hear of Matthias or Joseph again. So much for taking matters into their own hands. So much for filling up the boring times, the in-between times, with activity that isn't carefully considered. For many, waiting's a dreadful thing. Just ask any of our kids about that countdown till Christmas. Really an impatient, tough time, right? Or waiting for a birthday. My little granddaughters this week were just like, "Grandmama, you're going to be here this year in July when we turn 5. Hard to wait. Living between times. Living between big occasions can, in fact, be quite wonderful. It can be a rest. Some of you need a rest. Some of you who have been working so hard on making our church look so beautiful. Time to rest. There goes Mike. Yes, I need a rest. It can be wonderful. It can be a rest, a time in which we regain our strength, a time in which we quietly recuperate before the next big thing comes along. Those in-betweens are opportunities for reprioritizing or for reflection. In-betweens can be a time to attack that list you've been putting off, like clean the closet, change the oil, or reorganize your tax files. Amen? God knows that we need times of rest. And whether we know it or not, we need to take them, because life will present another big thing for us to survive. But living in the times between, in those times between one phase of our lives and the next, or between one job and another, or between the time when a child gets married and the baby comes, or between the period when we've lost a dear friend and have yet to find another. These times can be difficult. They can be difficult for us if we don't know how to wait for God's generous unfolding. So, how should we live in the times between? Our church is in a between time right now. As you experience the waiting, the between, an old pastor and a new pastor. First, we need to remember the times in between are meant to be active times, not passive times, times in which we are meant to deal with the details of our lives. While Jesus ascended into heaven to take his place at the right hand of God, the disciples had their eyes focused on, bye. And what did the angel say? Why are you standing here? Why are you inactive? Why are you just being still? Why are you just looking up into heaven? He just gave you a job to do. Now get with it. You've got a life to live, so live it. Remember what Jesus told you to do? Now go do it. In the times between, our eyes are meant to be fixed on the present moment that God has given us. This means pay the mortgage, plant the crop, save for college, plan this summer's vacation, and spend time with people important to us. In short, live fully this wonderful life that you have been given today. The disciples heeded the word of the angel, and they returned to business in Jerusalem like they had been commanded, and they waited. They waited there for his promise to them to be fulfilled, and we'll learn about that next Sunday. In times between, people often do take the opportunity to prepare themselves for what's supposed to happen next. Between jobs, they may go back to school to increase their abilities and skills that they can offer an employer. Between relationships, they might go into counseling. Between seasons of work, they may sit down and actually relax and rest, so they can have the strength to go on. There are many ways to prepare for what we believe is coming next. But in the end, for those who are seeking clarity of purpose, prayer is a good part of preparation for what is next. Just like the disciples did in Jerusalem, gathered in that place and prayed as they waited for God to pour out that Holy Spirit. So how do we live in between times? First, we need to remember in the times between to focus on what's happening now and not on what's going to happen later. There was a time in my life when all I could think about is where I was going, what was next. It was always out there. And I remember one day, my goodness, I'm so busy pushing ahead, I'm not living the moment that I'm in. Second, we need to keep connected with God and work at preparations that we know we need to be more effective in whatever it is that we know we need to be doing. Maybe we need to deal with a pesky health issue we've been putting off. Maybe we need a spiritual growth retreat. And third and last for today, in the times between, we need to trust, we need to have confidence that what has been promised to us will come to pass. We need the confidence because when we have confidence, we open ourselves up to the peace of God and the other blessings that God has for us that makes getting through the between times tolerable, even livable. To return to the prophet Isaiah's words, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like eagles, on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice in the promises, the words say that maybe and might are missing. It's will. Those who wait on the Lord will. You will mount up on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. And times between, trust in the Lord to come through. And while you're at it, enjoy this day and this life and enjoy it abundantly in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's get your little black Faith We Sing book out, and we're going to sing number 2087.
Please stand as we sing together.